Psalm 19. To the choir master, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now we said last time that the emphasis in Psalm 19 is on God's revelation of himself in creation, in scripture, and the human heart. Psalm 19 speaks about God's revelation. The world around us reveals God the Creator, Psalm 19 verses 1 to 6. Then the Word of God, the Scripture, reveals God the Instructor, verses 7 to 11. The witness within us reveals God the Redeemer, verses 12 to 14. In our last study, we went up to verse 6. Now we will begin to look at verses 7 to 11, but we will just be able to study verse 7 and verse 8 today. The Word, the Scripture, reveals God the Instructor, verses 7 to 11. The revelation of God in creation is overwhelming. It is mind-boggling. But so many times we take it for granted when we look at creation around us. Let's learn to be sensitive to the fact that God is revealing himself. God is speaking through creation. And then we will learn to enjoy God's presence, because God continually speaks through creation. Let's not take this for granted. The revelation of God in creation is truly overwhelming. It is mind-boggling. But that revelation is still limited when it comes to manifesting the attributes of God and his purposes for creation. Following the fall of man, when man fell into sin, creation has been subjected to bondage and futility. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Again, we read in the book of Romans chapter 8, Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 verses 20 to 22, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." Since creation is subjected to bondage and futility, We need something that reveals more clearly the character of God, the attributes of God. That something is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Last Sunday, the children sang that beautiful song, "Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life, wonderful words of life." So what we need is God's Word, His infallible, inerrant, inspired Word. When David wrote about creation, he used the word El, El. That's the word he used for God. When he wrote about creation in Psalm 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God." The word used there for God is El, and "the sky above proclaims His handiwork." But in the same psalm, when David writes about God's Word, he uses the covenant word Yehovah, Yehovah. If you have the vernacular, you will actually read Yehovah. In Malayalam, it is Yehovah. And that is the actual Hebrew pronunciation. You will see that the word Yehovah is used, God's Word. When David speaks about God's Word, he uses the covenant word Yehovah. He uses that 7 times, the word the Lord. You read the psalm, you will find 7 times he uses the word Lord, Yehovah. In the English Bible, it is in capital letters. Psalm 19, verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." The testimony of Yehovah is sure, making wise the simple. Psalm 19, verse 8, "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Psalm 19, verse 9, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Psalm 19, verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." And you can go ahead and study the psalm and you find the remaining 2 words, Yehovah. David uses the covenant name of the Lord, Yehovah, because the God of creation is also the God of personal revelation to His people. Now, Israel was a very special nation, chosen by God. And God revealed Himself to Israel by His law, by the covenants and the promises that He made to Israel. In the book of Deuteronomy, God reveals the reason why He chose Israel. The reason why He chose Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verses 6 to 12. "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that He swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations and repays to their face those who hate Him by destroying them. He will not be slack with one who hates Him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore be careful to do the commandment and the statutes and the rules that I command you today. And because you listen to these rules and keep and do them, the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the steadfast love that He swore to your fathers." When God called Abraham the father of the nation of Israel, He told him this. Genesis chapter 12 verses 1 to 3. "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Israel was a very special nation chosen by God, and God reveals His law and covenants and promises to them so that when Israel obeys, God's laws, his covenants, and receives his promises, they are a witness to the rest of the world. They are a blessing to the rest of the world, so that the rest of the world will come to know God. Romans chapter 9, verse 4. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. Psalm 147, verses 19 and 20. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his rules. Praise the Lord. So God chose the nation of Israel to be his special people, so that through the nation, the rest of the people of the nations would come to know God and be blessed. Because it is to Israel that God gave the law, the covenants, and the promises. That means God revealed himself. They had the knowledge of God like no other nation. Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4, verse 22, "You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know." We meaning the Jews. "For salvation is from the Jews." There is no other nation in the world that God revealed himself to like the Jewish nation. No other nation in the world that has the revelation of God like the Jewish nation. But what happened? They miserably failed in communicating this revelation of God to the rest of the world. So we find Jesus telling the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, verse 21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." Then in verse 23 we read, "But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him." It's not going to be the Jew alone from now on. In other words, yes, salvation is of the Jews, but it's not going to be the Jew alone now who has the revelation of God. The rest of the world will know. Jesus makes that very clear. The heavens declare God's glory, but the scripture tells us what God did, so that you and I can share in that glory. God became man through the womb of a virgin. 100% God, 100% man. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, came into this world. Takes upon himself a human body. Sheds his blood on the cross so that we could be delivered from the penalty of sin and from the power of death. He shed his blood on the cross so that we can be delivered from the bondage and slavery to sin and Satan and receive the free gift of eternal life. God gives us the free gift of eternal life through his Son, and he makes all those who believe in him partakers of his glory. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, we've been studying this. "For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering." Saw those words? In bringing many sons to glory. In bringing many sons to glory. This is what God has done for us. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 14 to 15. "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." There is no conflict between what God does in his universe and what God says in his word. Psalm 33 verse 9 says, "For he spoke and it came to be, he commanded and it stood firm." Again in the same Psalm, Psalm 33 verse 11, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations." So it was by his word that he created the worlds, and it is by his word that he controls the world. Psalm 148 verses 5 to 8. "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind, fulfilling his word." Now, David records six different names for God's word, six attributes of the word, and six ministries of the word in the lives of those who receive his word and obey it. I repeat, David records six different names for God's word, six attributes of the word and six ministries of the word in the lives of those who receive his word and obey it. We can only look at three of them today. In fact, we look at four in verses 7 and 8. We look at four of those names, attributes and ministries now and look into the rest, God willing, later on. Number one, the law of the Lord. Psalm 19 verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Now this Hebrew word for law is Torah. Torah. It means instruction. It means direction. It means teaching. Instruction, direction, teaching. The Jewish people call the scrolls of the law the Torah. But the word refers to all of God's revelation. The word Torah comes from a word that means shoot an arrow. Because a teacher aims to hit the target and achieve specific goals in the lives of his students. The law of the Lord is perfect. Psalm 19 verse 7. Unlike the textbooks that we read, and the textbooks that we read and write, you know, they keep changing. But God's word is perfect, it is flawless, and it is complete. Psalm 19 verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. In the ESV, it says the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The Hebrew word actually used there is shub. Shub. It means to restore, to revive, to give new life. It is the same word that is used in Psalm 23 verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The word of the Lord has life. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Not only does God's word have life, it also imparts life to all who receive his word. God's word has life, and it imparts life to all who receive his word. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed. Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. The word of God also sustains life. Psalm 119 verse 25. We'll go through a few verses in Psalm 119. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. You see, God's word sustains life. Psalm 119 verse 37. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Give me life in your ways. Psalm 119 verse 40. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Psalm 119 verse 88. In your steadfast love, give me life that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. Again, verse 107, Psalm 119, verse 107. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. And verse 149. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love, O Lord. According to your justice, give me life. Verse 156, Psalm 119, verse 156. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Verse 159, Psalm 119. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. When facing temptation in the wilderness, Jesus answers the devil in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So God's word is life-giving. The word of God is therefore giving us life as we read and meditate on his word. What happens is God imparts life into us. His life is imparted into us. Spiritually, even physical life. Number two, the second name. The second name and attribute and ministry of God's word is the testimony of the Lord. The testimony of the Lord. Psalm 19 verse 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The second part of verse 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The Ten Commandments were known by this name, testimony. God instructs Moses in Exodus chapter 25, verse 21, and you shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark, And in the ark you shall put the testimony that I shall give you. When God tells Moses how to make the ark of the covenant, he tells him, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I shall give you. The Ten Commandments are the basis of God's law, but all of the scripture is God's witness to us. The scripture witnesses to us about who God is and what God has done and about what he wants us to do and what he wants us to be. The witness that God bears of himself in the written word is sure. It is reliable. That's why it says in Psalm 19 verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So through the word of God, we become wise concerning salvation. We don't believe in myths and fancies regarding salvation. We have the witness of the word of God that tells us what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, his son, for our salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Through the scriptures, we realize that salvation is a gift of God, which we receive by faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment you receive Christ into your life, when you repent of your sin and turn to Christ and receive him by faith, what happens? At that very moment, you receive the gift of salvation. Salvation is not something that we work for. Salvation is God's gift to us, which we receive by faith through trusting in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved to do good works. Through the scripture, we also learn to live a successful life, a life that is pleasing to God. That is success, a life that pleases God. Proverbs chapter 2 verses 6 to 8. For the Lord gives, in fact, the whole of Proverbs 2 speaks about how we can live a life that is successful, pleasing God. Proverbs chapter 2 verses 6 to 8. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Proverbs 10 verse 8. The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. Psalm 19 verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now this word simple here, this does not mean mentally deficient people. They are not the naive people who believe everything. That's not what the word simple means. The simple that is mentioned here, simple means childlike people. Childlike people. Childlike people who humbly receive God's word. Childlike people who receive God's word, God's truth. Matthew 11 verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Luke chapter 10, verses 21 to 24. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then turning to the disciples, he said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. The third name, attribute and ministry of God's word is the statutes of the Lord. The statutes of the Lord. Psalm 19 verse 8. The King James Version says, The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The statutes are God's detailed instructions concerning the practical matters of everyday living. The ESV uses the word precepts instead of statutes. It uses the word precepts. For the Old Testament Jew, the statutes related to what they ate, how they dressed, how they kept clean, and so on and so forth. God laid down certain basic laws and commandments, and the statutes applied these laws and commandments to specific situations. The New Testament epistles repeats nine of the Ten Commandments and omits the fourth commandment, which is the law of Sabbath for the Jews. That's omitted in the epistles. The New Testament epistles then give applications of these principles. For example, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 to 32, you have all of those nine commandments and their applications. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 to 32. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Some of the statutes that legislators have passed in the countries of the world are not right, even in our own country. Those statutes have brought grief to the people. But the statutes of the Lord bring joy to our hearts when we obey them. The statutes of the Lord bring joy to our hearts when we obey them. Number three, the fourth name, attribute, and ministry of God's word is the commandment of the Lord. This is number four. I'm sorry, I think the number there is put wrong on the screen. I've typed it wrong. The fourth name, attribute, and ministry of God's word is the commandment of the Lord. Psalm 19, verse 8. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The word commandment means that which is appointed. Because the Lord loves us, he commands us as to what to do, and he also warns us to do, he warns us as to what we should not do. He commands us as to what we should do, and he warns us about what we should not do. And how we respond to this is a matter of life and death. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 to 20. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live. Loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. God's commands are pure and lead to a pure life. His commands are pure and they lead to a pure life if we obey them from our heart. Psalm 19 verse 8, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The Bible is the Holy Scriptures. The Bible is God's holy word. Romans chapter 1 verses 1 to 2. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Romans chapter 7 verse 12. So the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, Paul tells Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Psalm 119 verse 140, the King James Version. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Proverbs 30 verse 5, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Psalm 19 verse 8. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. We are enlightened and learn God's truth when we obey what God tells us in his word. John 7 verse 17. If anyone wills to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. We are enlightened. We will know. Jesus says he will know. So we are enlightened and learn God, and we learn God's truth when we obey what he tells us. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. James chapter 1 verses 22 to 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like, what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So we are enlightened and we learn God's truth, God's word, and as we obey, we experience his presence and his joy. We as believers in Christ are strangers. We are sojourners in this world. And so God has revealed himself to us not only through creation, but also through his holy word to guide us in this world. In this world of darkness, in this world which is getting so increasingly wicked day by day, in a world that is a perilous world, God has given us his holy word. Psalm 119 verse 19, I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. If we move away from the word of God, we will take detours in our lives and we will fail to fulfill God's plan and God's purpose for our lives. But we need not do so. All we need to do is obey his word by the power of his spirit who indwells us. God has not only given us his word, he has given us his spirit who breathes his word into existence. And that very spirit, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. Psalm 32 verses 8 to 10. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. You see, he not only gives us his word, he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. So let us trust God and obey his word. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?